Hello, my name is William Cueto, and welcome to Builders of Hope, a show about young Catholic professionals who are living out their faith in all aspects of their lives, their family lives, their social lives, and their careers. Growing in the spiritual life is not just for priests and nuns. It's for all of us, as you will see through the lives of our guests who are striving to live out their faith and build a better world. Wendell White is a 26-year-old professional working in the telecommunications field, as well as a part-time personal trainer. From the perspective of a personal trainer, Wendell will talk to us about the proper balance between the physical life and the spiritual life, which is a difficult balance for most people to maintain.
Well, I was born in Nashville, Tennessee. My mother's Catholic, my father's Baptist, and I was raised in a pretty Catholic home. My mom always took us to church every week, and it was an important part of our lives. Then we moved to the Northern Virginia area when I was about 7 years old. And then from there, I've always been in Catholic schools. And, I've always been brought up to practice the faith. Teenage years were a little bit tougher, but nonetheless, I made it through. And I still practice my faith. It's very important to me. And it's even more important to me now that I work and try to support myself. Because now I have to be much more self-motivated, much more self-disciplined. And no longer does my mother or father take me to church. I have to rely on myself to go to church, develop a prayer life, and do all those things to stay on track. So it's very important that I continue to stay focused on the Eucharist, stay focused on the sacraments, so I can continue my daily walk with Christ and continue to grow in the Christian life.
And how about your other parts of your family? You were mentioning earlier to me that some of your family members were Baptists.
Right. My great-grandfather was the first convert to the Catholic Church. It was a little bit odd because he converted in the South in the early part of the 20th century. So that was a little bit unique. And being African-American was even more strange. So I never knew him, but listening to my grandmother and people of her generation, they tell me that he was a very spiritual man. He loved Jesus a lot. And he looked for the truth. And he wasn't satisfied where he was. My great aunt even told me that he contemplated opening up his own church. And he searched around. He just happened to step into a Catholic church one day. And I think he said that, I've never been to this church before. Let me check it out. And he went in there. And from there, he was immediately attracted to the church. I think he started what might have been the equivalent to something like RCIA classes.
Right.
And then from there, he became a part of the church.
So that was a beginning seed that kind of flowed through your family.
That's correct. And then from there, he married a woman who was Methodist, and I think she ended up converting. And then the children were raised Catholic. And one of the children, my great aunt, is a nun. And another one of the children is my grandmother, who happens to be a very important and influential person in my life. So she's been just a huge example for me, just a great Christian, someone that I'm very blessed to have as an example of what it means to walk with Christ.
That's wonderful. And right now, you're involved in telecommunications. That's where your career is focused right now. And you're also a part-time personal trainer. Can you tell us a little bit about your career right now and where you plan to take it?
Right. I have two jobs right now. Now, my primary job is in telecommunications. That's more of the practical side of my career. You know, one that brings in enough income where I can take care of myself and provide for my needs and pay my bills and so forth. The personal training is more of something I enjoy doing. I get to work with people with something that I enjoy doing. I get to help them out. I get to develop a relationship with my clients, and I get to know them on a more personal basis. And it provides me an opportunity to really, you know, provide others with an example of how to be a Christian in a work environment. So those two jobs are very important to me.
And what about your other social interests? You were talking about before that you had a lot of different activity that you were engaged in. You're a pretty busy guy.
Yeah, I normally like to train also in the evening. I got to work out myself. That may include some weight training. I also got involved in some kickboxing, which is a lot of fun. I also like to go to mass sometimes during the week. And also I try to find time for my friends a little bit on the weekends. So I try to have a balance. I try to have time where I work. I have time for God. I have time for family. I have time for friends. I have time for recreation, maybe working out. So I try to have a little bit of time for everything so everything's balanced and I don't get burnt out in one particular area.
And that's a good question. It's a good point you raise. How do you balance everything? How do you keep all these different aspects of your life flowing in together?
Well, I think the main thing is to remember that everything has its place. I mean, no, I'm there's certainly not someone who wants to overwork when it comes to the job. So I think the 40 or 50 hour work week is good. I try to work out in the gym. I'm not one of those guys who has to spend 2 and 3 hours in the gym. You can be there an hour, maybe an hour and a half at the most, and then you can leave, do other things. On the weekends, I do spend some time with friends, a few hours in the evening, not all day. So I try to give everything its proper place. I like to spend time in prayer. You know, you give an hour to God. So everything has its place, an hour here, an hour there, and then that way you can fit everything in. And not one thing will overtake you. One thing won't be overwhelming so that you get burnt out in a short amount of time doing it.
And how do you prioritize all these different things?
Well, God is definitely the most important part of my life because I consider Him the source of all my blessings, whether it be getting the jobs, it could be anything. My success, even in the gym, I mean, anything, I depend on God. So God is the most important thing in my life. My family is definitely the second, but I'm not around my family as much, so it's not as much of a concern. My roommate is my friend. He's not, although he might, be considered somewhat family, he's not really my immediate family. My older sister is going into the convent, hopefully, at some point in the fall. So, of course, she won't be around. My younger sister is getting married sometime in the following year. So she'll have someone, to help take care of her and so forth. And the other family members are either in Tennessee, and I have an older brother in Baltimore. So I'm really more on my own when it comes to my family. So then I prioritize God, and then the next, I try to give priority to my jobs, because you're always working with people. And it's really important to do a good job because you want to provide a good example of a Christian who may work hard, but you also want to provide an example of someone who's trying to live right 24 hours a day.
Sure.
So I've got my time for work, and then after that, my recreation is important to me, so I do find time for it. In the evenings, you always have a little bit of free time after work, so I try to find a little bit of time for recreation and prayer.
Now, you've been engaged in some other things in your church life as well. There were some things you were doing at your university.
Yeah, while I was at George Mason University, in 1996, I led the campus Bible study along with another person. I also worked at a local church, St. Mary of Sorrows, working with a confirmation group, helping them be formed for their confirmation. I was an assistant to the teacher. I was an assistant teacher. So I helped her to form the kids and to help train them for what they were about to experience in that sacrament.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Now, there's something that I find very interesting. You have a good portion of your life where you're in physical fitness and you're training other people, and it's something that's very much dealing with the physical part of your life. And at the same time, you have a strong foundation and you're striving to live out your faith in all the things of your life. I'd like to read something that comes from some of the church teachings regarding physical exercise that I find very interesting. St. Paul refers to sports activity to point out the spirit of courage demanded by the Christian life, a life much like a demanding sport, directing a person's energies toward the perfection of character. In other words, fight the good fight of faith. St. Ignatius of Loyola encouraged physical exercise to be used to build a strong and healthy body, to glorify God, and to obtain greater spiritual and moral goods. He compared his spiritual exercises much to the exercises of the body, which many have followed in these spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, and he formed the order of the Jesuits. A question that I have for you is, how do you strike that balance between the physical and the spiritual? Because some people might say, well, if you spend too much on the physical, that's a vain thing, and that's not good.
But I think it's important to look into why you want to do it. Look at your motivation. Look at your reasons that why you're training. But God made us body and soul, so we must take care of both. Some people usually neglect one or the other, and I think it's important to find that balance. Christ did rise from the dead bodily, and so our bodies are important to Him and how we take care of them. And training, I think, is important because it does have a lot of things in common with taking care of the soul.
For instance?
Self-discipline. You have to be disciplined in your daily walk with Christ, and you have to be consistent, and you have to be self-motivated. All of those apply to training. I mean, when you're in your daily walk with Christ, no one's going to tell you to go pray, when you get older at least. No one's going to tell you to go to Mass. No one's going to tell you to follow the commandments. That's on your own. It's a response to a call. Now, when you go train, no one's going to tell you to go to the gym. No one's going to tell you to eat correctly. No one's going to tell you to do those things. They require sacrifice. They require consistency. They require motivation. They require discipline. And all those aspects go hand in hand with taking care of the soul. So you can apply those types of things to the soul and the body.
That's beautiful. You know, it's a complete package of what we are. And what some of the things that I've read in other articles and you hear in medical reports is that physical exercise also helps to relieve stress in the workplace or in life. It relieves certain chemicals in the body that are helpful. It gives you a different outlook, and as well as other kinds of positive effects. Do you find that as well?
Well, what I find one of the most important benefits of training is the relief of stress. In fact, I have to be honest and tell you that when I'm not training, I don't feel like myself. You can come home from work, you can have a stressful day, but when I'm not training, I don't have that outlet. So I do like training for that reason also, not just to improve upon the body, but as a stress relief. And the gym is also a time for social activity. I mean, you get to talk to other people in the gym, develop some camaraderie with other people, and it's rest for the mind. You know, you're not trying to do anything that you were doing at work. You can kind of let yourself go a little bit. And that social time, not just the training time, but the social time that you're in there with the guys, you're talking, you're having some fun. So your mind is at ease. So it's definitely a good stress relief. So it's good for the body and the mind. So I think training has many definitely beneficial aspects to it.
So it has its purpose. It's more of a support for you versus the main goal of your life. It supports other things that are above and beyond that, that are a higher priority.
Sure. You know, when I was growing up, my mother always told me, be careful, your body's going to rot in the ground one day until Jesus is going to rise it up. So I always try to remember that, yeah, I love training, but at the same time, yeah, it's not top priority in my life, you know. I know I'm going to die one day, my body's going to be in the ground rotting away, so I can't give it top priority. I have to always give top priority to the soul.
Yeah, that's important to remember, because unfortunately, in this world and here from where we're filming from in South Beach, there's a lot of focus on the physical and very little, sometimes none, on the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And that's something, like you were saying earlier, the spiritual is something that we believe as Catholics that lasts forever.
Right.
Whereas the body has its life, and its purpose is to work together with a full life, including the spirit, which is the most important thing.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people get caught up in that because I think a lot of people, they do it for the wrong reasons, and they're very influenced by the media, and people are very influenced, and they're always thinking of, what do people want to see in me? Now, I really don't care, to be honest. When I train, I don't really think about, is someone else going to like the way I look? I mean, if no one else liked what I did, I would still do it because I enjoy it, and there's nothing wrong with what I do. So, you have to look into why you do it, as I said earlier. And I think most people really get so caught up in their physical bodies that they lose touch with why they're really here. You know, you can use your training as an avenue to develop the spiritual life. You can take some of those habits that you develop in the gym and apply them to your spiritual life, but most people stop there. They stop with just training the body.
Right.
So I try to stay away from that. I try to train the body, but I also look into using those things to help me develop other goals in my life.
And the Pope even talks about that. The Pope was an avid mountaineer, you know, someone that he just made blessed on his way to sainthood was someone who was an athlete, very much so in many different sports, and he has given him to us as the example to follow. And he was very much a devout Catholic and involved in all sorts of athletics. So it's a good message for all of us. One thing I'd like to turn to right now is you were mentioning before about socializing with your friends and having a lot of activities in that regard. You're a single young man, you know, there's dating that's part of your social life. Can you tell us a little bit about how you strike the balance between socializing and at the same time maintaining staying on the right path as well?
Well, for me, the first thing I'd like to point out in regard to that is that it's very important to choose the right friends. That is very important. I've been very fortunate. I have to admit my friends come from different backgrounds, different religions, but they all support what I do. I've been very upfront about the way I'm trying to live, and they respect that, and they almost try to protect me. They almost support me in wanting to live the Catholic faith. So I've been very fortunate in the friends that I've been blessed with. So I think it's very important to choose the right friends so that when you go out, first of all, no matter where you go, you're going to have that support network. They're going to look out for you. They're going to try to make sure that you do nothing wrong. They're going to try to make sure that you live out the life that you've chosen to live. Second of all, I think it's important to look into where you go out when you do go out with your friends. You have to be very, very particular about the places you choose. Now, to some degree, this is tough because some places you may hear about, but you won't really know until you go there. So you may want to leave yourself a little room for like certain maybe bars or so forth that you may go to and just see how it is for the first time. See if the environment is okay, and then you can make a decision on whether you want to stay and come back or whether you want to leave. If you go out to dance clubs, I don't think going out to dance clubs necessarily is wrong in and of itself. We do that sometimes. However, I think it's important to, when you go in, listen to the music, see if the music is offensive to God. If it is, that's probably somewhere that you don't want to be. And you have to look at the way people are dancing. If the people are dancing in a manner that's going to be unworthy of the Lord, you have to really consider not being a part of that environment. So you have to be very careful. And also, if you go to a bar or something, you want to make sure that it's not a place where people are always getting drunk and acting rowdy. You want to make sure that, yeah, you want to go out and let your mind be at ease. You want to have social activity. You just want to be kind of careful about the places you go. So some of that's going to be trial and error, especially in the day and age we live in, because it's very hard to find a place that's going to be, you know, social and Christian. So you're going to have to find some places that at least won't be too offensive to the Lord.
Sure. Something you mentioned earlier as well that I thought was very interesting, because we were talking about the physical activities you're engaged in. We've talked about some of the social things that you participate in. And you also mentioned earlier attending daily Mass. Now, I think what you'll hear a lot is, why daily Mass? Why not just Sunday Mass? Are you studying for the priesthood? You know, what is the reason for going to daily Mass?
Well, I think going to daily Mass is very important, and first of all, I like to say going to church on Sunday is important, and for most people, that may be a given, but I do want to just mention that because a lot of people have gotten out of that habit. A lot of my friends have gotten out of that habit, you know, and I want to say that definitely want to make sure that we keep the Sabbath holy. It's a commandment, and if we love God, we'll respond to it. But going to daily Mass is also important because we're supposed to have a daily prayer life and a daily walk with the Lord. Now, the most important thing, I think, about daily Mass is the fact that we receive the Eucharist. We receive Christ, and we're present with Him every day. It shows our love for Him. We're responding to the call. I know
you believe that's Christ present in the Mass every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely believe that. You know, dating someone, this mystery kind of opened up to me because I realized if you're really interested in someone, you want to talk to them. You want to communicate with them. And you may call them up, and it's great because you hear their voice, they're talking to you, you're talking to them, and it may be even a consolation to you. But how much more do you want to see them in front of you? And you know, a lot of times when you're with someone you really care about, you don't even have to do a whole lot. You can just be present with each other, just in their presence, and you're happy, just that they're around. And the same way with our Lord. Most people don't even have a prayer life at all, so I do encourage people to, first of all, develop a prayer life. So yeah, communicate with the Lord as if you're talking to someone on the phone. Make sure you spend time with them. If you love them, you will do that. But even more so, if you really love them, you will want them to be present.
You'll go see them.
You'll go see them. And so that's one of the most important things, is making time to be present with our Lord. And you'll start to really understand Him more. You'll start to live the Christian faith out with much more fervor. You'll start to be a little bit more at peace with your life. Things will start to flow together if you can just spend some time with our Lord daily.
Why do you think it's so difficult in our culture today to find people that are trying to live out their faith, especially young people? And sometimes you'll find that they do have a faith as teenagers, and then they grow a little bit older, and once they get into the workplace and they get married or are pursuing advancing in their lives, that they sort of lose playing out their faith with sort of the intention of coming back to that later on in life.
I must admit that I have come across some people who have been in situations where they weren't raised in an environment where the Christian faith was top priority. So for them, when you talk about God as being top priority, it's something a little bit foreign to them. Not all, but I have come across that. There's other people, when you go to high school and college, you're distracted by people of the opposite sex. You're distracted by the work that you get involved in. And this country is very materialistic, as you know. We're given a lot of opportunities, and opportunities are very good. But at the same time, a lot of people get swept underneath. They look into the opportunities, they look at the money they can make, and they continue to make that as their focus instead of God. Instead of looking at it as this is a blessing from God, and this is a chance to, sure, make money, but God's giving you a chance to take care of yourself, make money. I mean, I think in terms of, okay, God's given me an opportunity to make money, I can take care of myself, I can afford a car to go to Mass. I mean, those give you, you know, these great blessings in your life give you an opportunity to worship God and to be an example to others. And I think people need to try to stay focused on that. And when you come across people who have really not been raised in that environment, it's very difficult to get that across to them. So I find if you become a friend to them and show them that you care about them, because you're really a reflection of God. We're salt and light, and so we're a reflection of God. We represent Him. So I think if we can get involved in someone's life and show them that, hey, we care about them, we also like to go out and have a good time, but we're not out doing all these wrong things, they begin to see that, and they begin to see the peace in your life and want some of that.
Yeah, so they're attracted to something about you, some happiness that you have, some enthusiasm that you have, some peace that you have going about in life that they're attracted to. And you mentioned something about light and just being an example to others. How do you see your life right now as far as what it is God wants you to do? What's your role?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I believe that God is calling me to witness right now. I think that's one of the most important things that I can do. I think that's why I'm doing all these different things. My social activities, my training in the gym, even if I go back to school, the two different jobs I have, I mean, wherever I'm at, I just feel like God is calling me to witness. And I also feel like God is calling me to connect with other Christians within my environment. I've been fortunate because I've been able to say something about the gospel, and I come across someone else who also believes in something very similar. And so I've been also able to connect with other Christians, and together we've been able to provide a witness to other people in that same environment. So right now I think that God is calling me to work hard and to be a witness to others.
And who else is called to that? You? Is it me? Is it a few of my friends? A few of your friends? What's the scope? Who's included in this call of those that are young and working in the world and engaged in life's day-to-day activities? Who has this call to live out their faith?
Well, we're definitely called to live out the Christian faith at all times. Religious, married, single. I've been very blessed because in my family, talking to my grandmother, she lived the Christian faith out. It seemed like since she was a child, she didn't seem to have many times where she would stray. And she's married, and she had 6 children. My mother had 5 children. She talked about growing up as a child and trying to stay close to the Lord. My great aunt again is a nun, so I've seen both sides. I've seen someone go the religious way, and I've seen someone go to the married life. And I see that whichever way you go, you're still called to live a holy life. And
so it's for everyone.
It's absolutely for everyone. And again, like I said, I've been very blessed because I've seen people live that way and really expound on that example. I've seen them, you know, they taught me, hey, you're called to live this way.
And one last thing I'd like to ask from you, Wendell, is if you could share with the audience, you know, and give us your message, you know, of mission for all of us as an example.
Well, I'd like to say stay close to the Lord by reading the scriptures and by receiving the Eucharist. The scriptures provide us with a great outline of how we should live our lives. And remember, balance is the key, because in today's world, we can get caught up in one area too much. So I think it's important to try to find balance in everything. And that way, you won't get burnt out in any one thing. Just remember to keep God as top priority. Work hard. Find a way to take care of yourself. You should be a good, productive citizen, so you should work. But also, you should find time to take care of your body as well. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. God did make you body and soul, and I think it's important to find time for it. It's a great stress relief. Doctors will tell you that it's healthy, and I think it's important, and I think God blesses you doing that.
We'd like to thank you for joining us on Builders of Hope. If you'd like to contact today's guest or myself, email us at our website at buildersofhope.com. We invite you to join us next week when our guest will be Dr. Carlos and Lucy Moas, and they will both speak to us about how they prioritize and balance work, their family of 5 children, their social lives, and their spiritual lives. They will also speak to us about marriage and the church's teaching on artificial birth control, and much more.